change the culture, the mindset, the expectation level, and improve the brand of Indiana Hoosier football.
Feels like we're in the eye of the storm, Brad.
Are you sure? The eye of the storm? What does that mean? That's kind of ominous.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. In terms of all the chaos of the college world is surrounding us, because we're in the college football playoff. I see what you mean.
Well, I was thinking more so of like, yes, but the college football season for Indiana, obviously, and for all the teams in the college football playoff, is the regular season is over. The playoff officially starts with Indiana at Notre Dame a week from this Friday. And so we kind of have this, I don't want to call it a dead week, because it's definitely not a dead week. We have Army-Navy coming up on Saturday, which, Brad, we're going to get into a little bit. I'm going to let you kind of take the reins on that. But they're, like, yes, you could launch a full-on like game preview, but then what are you going to talk about next week, right? So I think it's a good time to take a look both at the past, and by the past, I mean like the past like 15 weeks, and like look back on the season. I talked to you briefly. We both wrote down our five favorite moments from the season. We'll go back and forth kind of list style and talk about those, kind of talk about how the season made us feel, things like that. Just kind of big picture stuff, like, a little over a year ago, we're sitting with a 3-9 football team, and like Tom Allen's got a $10 million buyout, and it kind of looks like we're going down the same old with Indiana football. And 1 year later, we're gearing up to play a college football playoff game. So it really has been a wild ride.
It's pretty surreal.
And it happened super quick.
Damn near. This time last year, like 4 weeks ago, we didn't even have a football
game. Yeah. I think it was December 1st was the infamous basketball game where he went out and said Purdue sucks and so does Michigan and Ohio State. But yeah, it's been a hell of a year for Indiana football. And then obviously with the transfer portal opening up officially this week, it opened up yesterday. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. Obviously, this is a massive game against Notre Dame. College football playoff is obviously 100% of where our focus is going, but with that space in between the game, I think it is a good time to take a look at kind of some transfer portal targets, kind of talk about what the roster needs, where the holes could kind of be, who's coming back, and not super in depth of like, oh, this is the, like, here are the seven guys they're going to bring in, but more so like, here are the position groups they're kind of going to be targeting, and here's who you can kind of expect to see over the next couple weeks, because official visits started this week.
Yeah, and they're already bringing in players from across the country. There's probably going to be guys that are on the roster right now. They're going to be gone later. So, I mean, yeah, we'll be talking about it later.
100%. So that's kind of what I meant about, like, eye of the storm. Like, the season's over. The playoff is coming. The portal's coming. Yes, the portal is open right now, and obviously for the coaches and the teams and stuff, it's like balls to the walls. Like, but for the fans, it's kind of like we have to wait. And so I think it's a good time to reflect. And
in
to
a
look
new forward. Era of college football during the postseasons when the off season starts, which has been a thing for a few years now with the portal and everything. So that's just how things go. And Coach Sig, he's already said publicly that he's focusing half this week on transfer portal stuff and then half the week on Notre Dame.
Yeah, he gave a full breakdown of his, like, what this week and next week is going to look like in his presser on Monday, which I thought was really cool because I don't know how often you get to hear what a coach's schedule or how he wants to think about what a week looks like. But, yeah, it's basically a balancing act between – trying to get ready for Notre Dame, trying to be physical enough to keep your edge, but not too physical to get hurt. And then you have that transfer portal balancing act of like, yeah, you got guys on your team that might want to go somewhere else or might need to stay. You're starting to have those conversations. You have guys that they're bringing in for official visits. Like you just referenced, there's a couple dudes who have already been, or at least one guy who's already been on campus, which is really exciting. And there's just a lot of moving parts. So I don't want to say I don't envy those guys because it seems like it'd be a fun situation to kind of juggle, but they're dealing with a lot right now.
Yeah, Eye of the Storm. I get it now. I get it.
Hell yeah.
What's your...
So let's reflect, Brad.
Top five moments.
Yeah, top five moments, I mean, from the season.
It is. I have to say, it's pretty surreal just, you know, going from the one-year turnaround. It's probably the biggest turnaround in possibly the sport's history. Possibly.
Well, it is crazy
regardless
when
of
you
what
say
they
it
do
like that
the,
because...
The fact that they made it this far.
It's like, what do you hear? And the transfer portal speeds that up because you can bring a bunch of guys into the program like Indiana did. They sent out 38. They brought in 31. They're not going to do that this year. But to you always hear, oh, it takes 3 to 4 years to turn the program around. Like, you need to get a full recruiting class in. You need to get your culture in there and get your guys in there. And, like, what Sig and this staff was able to come in and do in, like, literally in 6 months was insane.
Imagine what they do with another year. Unreal.
That's what I'm and they have it on, like, now you can go to a transfer and be like, hey, maybe you can't take your 13 best players from JMU, but you can go to the best guy in the transfer portal and be like, listen, we just brought a bunch of dudes together who had never played before together, created a whole new team, and went out and whooped everybody's ass. We think you would be a great fit for this. We want to develop you as a part of this program. How do you say no to that?
Yeah, we're gonna bring in some absolute dogs this offseason. I can't wait to cover it. It's, I've been window shopping for sure on 24/7 Sports. They got the portal. I've been checking it out, seeing who's available. 13 mil in just
it
donations.
Is...
There could be some last minute, you know, step ins to get some big names. So we'll see.
Well, it's even just like, As fans of the program, as alumni of the university, like, we can be in college football conversations now. Like, it's not just like, I'll catch Notre Dame games or like, oh, like whatever. Like, not that I was doing that or like you were doing that, but I'm just saying, like, the classic, like, oh, like, yeah, I'm an Indiana football fan, but it's like, no, it's like, this is the it program right now. Like, they are the emerging superpower in college football. They are building something really special here in Bloomington. It's palpable. And they locked everybody but Tino down for next year. The entire crew's coming back. The vibes are insanely high. And yeah, they're going to bring in some dudes. So it is the attitude, the charisma, the moxie, like all that stuff around this program is completely flipped. Like, Adidas football recognized them for the first time maybe ever.
They need to fix the uniforms. This team needs better uniforms.
Yes, but also, like, just make them cleaner. Because if you're just going to be, like, keep them classic, like, Alabama's classic, they have two uniforms. Like, Oklahoma, I know they threw in that third, like, Jordan, whatever, gray uniform, which is pretty dope. But they're pretty classic with their two-uniform combo. I don't have a problem with being classic or being, like, plain. I have a problem when it's not done properly or done with but bad materials when this is clearly an A-plus product.
Yeah. I was referring to the materials.
I would expect that to change.
The materials. Only thing I really ask about the actual look would be, I think white helmets on the road would be pretty cool. Red pants.
I think we're going to see a lot of really
red
cool
pants.
Stuff.
As far as I would go. Red pants, white helmets. That's it. Just so we can just mix and match a little bit.
But yeah, it's the world that an Indiana football fan is living in is completely flipped upside down in the best possible way. And I don't know. Do you want to start? You want me to start? I'll start. My top five.
Number five.
Fifth favorite moment for this year. Number five. It was the bucket game, but specifically Jalen Walker in the bucket game. He had a sack and a half. He had the interception. He was all over the place. It almost felt like you could have had Jalen Walker on the field by himself and he could have stopped the Purdue offense.
I mean, that's what he did. He got a helmet sticker last week. He deserved every bit of it. He loves football, that guy. He loves football.
He does. But just snow game, the ambiance, the pictures and videos from the crowd itself, the fact that the students and the fans showed up, it was cold, the weather was bad, it was the day after or 2 days after Thanksgiving, like that place was packed and it was loud, the atmosphere was awesome, and then they kicked the shit out of Purdue. And it was glorious. And it ended in Purdue firing its coach. Like, it was that bad.
And then they went on to hire Barry Odom, who...
Honestly, solid hire.
He did okay. He did great at Mizzou. That's all I'm going to say.
For Purdue, wasn't a bad hire.
We'll see.
I'm not saying it makes me nervous, but I'm saying if you're going to... If it was somebody like Tom Allen, I love Tom Allen, that would have been hilarious. Like, this is one where I looked at it and I went, It wasn't like, oh, shit, like, have fun with that one for a couple years. It was like, that might be something. But no, the bucket game was phenomenal. Like I said, from the ambiance to the actual game itself to, like, getting the bucket back and seeing Mike Kadick being so happy to have the bucket.
First ever night game. Of that matchup, Indiana wins 6-6. I hope we play more and night was their games in the future. Is all I'll say.
Largest margin of victory against a conference opponent in the school's history for Indiana, and it came in a snow night game against Purdue.
Beautiful, during the holidays, gift that keeps on giving. Indiana football.
How could you not be romantic about
how
football?
How could you not?
Do you want to go for do? You, what's your
number five for me?
Yeah,
have to be the Washington game, specifically the Ponds pick six. Number five for me. D'Angelo Ponds basically sealed the game with a first quarter pick six. Back when I would say actually Washington had a good amount of momentum going. Will Rogers throws a duck tipped by Tyreek Tucker. And return for a touchdown by Indiana's best player, D'Angelo.
No, Ponds. That wasn't that one. Oh, that the wait, Washington was game. It tipped by Tucker? No, but was it? Did he? I thought it was tipped. I thought he just picked it straight off. That's funny, Brad. That was my number four, specifically that really? Moment. Try five, get six. Yeah,
that's pretty. That's pretty funny.
Because I do feel like I had a small part in history there because I did quote tweet Angelo Ponds, and. When he said try five, get six, and I said that belongs in the t-shirt, and 7 days later it was on multiple t-shirts. So if you have a try five, get six t-shirt, you're welcome. But yeah, that was my number four. That was, I mean, and then on top of the fact that the stadium's going nuts, and like you said, it's pretty much ended that game. College game day was there the entire day leading up to that. The McAfee's like 2 minute segment that I'll continue to post till the day I die. Of him going, the great state of, and the entire crowd chanting back Indiana. Then he leads the giant Hoosiers chant. That was epic. And then you have the Ponds pick, and he's running down the field with nobody in sight. And God bless that cameraman for Big Ten Network, whoever the hell that was. The zoom out to see the entire shot of the stadium going crazy. I literally have chills right now. Chills. Epic. Epic. Try five, get six.
Try five, get six. D'Angelo Ponds named a CBS Sports All-American second team. Did you hear about that?
Well earned.
Yeah, it's a little bit of smoke. There we go. My number four. My number four. I wrote down Purdue 66. Nothing. So that's why it's funny that we just have flip flopped 4-5.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What do you have? You have something else to mention about the Purdue game that we didn't talk about yet?
Mike K just tongue out. Picture is iconic. Gotta post that one basically every single rivalry week for the next decade, probably. And yeah, legendary. Just legendary. It's very rare that you get a win over that, over your rival. So enjoy it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, wins over Purdue aren't going to be rare in the future. But beating your conference rival that badly in a game everybody knows you needed, yeah, that was big time.
That was awesome. Securing our spot in the playoff on top of that, waking up the next morning, announcing that you're in the
Just knowing.
Well, not the next morning, but, the week later.
Yeah, but, to the point where the team didn't even have a watch party for it. They were just like, yeah, we're in. Like, go do your thing. It's a Sunday. Like, check it out, see who we play, and go watch film.
Yeah. You'll know. You'll know what film to watch. It'll be uploaded.
Yep. Number three, Kurt Cignetti leaving the Rose Bowl.
Dude, that was mine.
To a serenade of Hoosier chants with his hands in the air like a conquering hero. I mean, what more do you want to say? We're going out to an old stadium to whoop somebody's ass. And then what was his quote where he's like, we got there, ate dinner, went to bed, woke up, kicked their ass, came home. Like, it was... It happened exactly the way he said it was going to happen. And they went out there and they beat the shit out of UCLA on national television and declared to the nation that they were a legitimate program.
That was one of my favorite days of the year. Nice tailgate in Pasadena. Started the day at Barney's. Watched the Hoosiers kick some ass from start to finish. Six touchdowns, miles crossed, one-handed catch right in front of me. Just electric. The day I realized that Indiana was going to be very, very good. I didn't know how good, though.
Just
I was
a real...
I was thinking playoff was in question with the schedule that we had at that point.
Just a beautiful day in Southern California.
Speaking of Southern California, it's the holiday season. A great gift is the wonderful flavor of the Southwest. What do you know? See, I'm coming up with this on the fly. It's not the best ad read ever. order a 4-pack at socalhotsauce.com. Use promo code six inside, that's two words, six inside, for your next for 10% off on your next order. That's socalhotsauce.com. That stuff's actually really good, by the way.
Do you think we'd have a product that's bad?
No. I mean, it's probably my go-to hot sauce at this point. Like, I'll put, I feel like at my house we have a good rotation of different hot sauces that come in. That one has become a staple. I order the 4-pack every week. I'm also ordering it for most of my, loved ones for Christmas, as,
Eric's going to be pumped to hear that because he actually, your roommate, texted me today and was like, I need more hot sauce.
Yeah, we're getting more. It's on the way.
SoCal Hot Sauce, SoCalHotSauce.com. Check them out.
Two words, SIGS inside.
Promo code SIGS
inside. Free shipping when you get the 4-pack, so it's a great holiday option.
So your number three was also the Rose Bowl.
It was the Rose Bowl, yeah. The SoCal Hot Sauce, number three.
The SoCal Hot Sauce Game of the Year, presented by SoCalHotSauce.com.
Yeah, Game of the Year. Had to be. That was an unreal
weekend. Had to be. My number two moment of the season, favorite moment of the season, was the second game the Indiana Hoosiers played.
No way.
And the 77-3 beatdown of the Western Illinois Leathernecks. Here's why. It's not that I didn't panic after game one. In fact, I was the one saying, don't panic. Don't panic about the crowd. Don't panic about the performance. All this stuff, yada, yada. We both came on this podcast and talked about how Indiana needed to make this game look good. We said, put up 50 points. Put up 60 points. There was a point in that game where they could have put up 100 and they took their foot off the gas. Like, they went out there and executed at such a high level that I was like, I don't know if there's 10 teams in the country that are better than them. And lo and behold, there wasn't. And there isn't. So the fact that they were able to go out there in what should have been a meaningless Friday night game and over and over and over and over again execute at such a high level and show a level of discipline that it didn't matter who they were playing. They were just going to run the plays and continue to play the football game until the clock ended. It told me everything I needed to know about what we were about to witness this season. It was like, it doesn't matter who's in front of you. Like, we're just going to play football. We're going to play Indiana football. This is what it looks like. And if you're not able to hang, it's going to look a lot like 77-3. And you can ask Purdue.
That was a great game. They did exactly what great teams do against shitty teams, which is utterly dominate. That didn't make my top five, by the way. Honorable mention for me. That was a great day. It's when you kind of realized, whoa, okay, we probably have our guy. That's when I was fully bought in on Sig, was watching that game.
Well, there's beating a team, right?
Sig was our guy. Sig was our guy forever. That game.
And then there's handling a team. There's wiping the floor with a team. There's like, I can't believe somebody even put this on the schedule. And that's exactly what happened. And like you said, that's what really, really good football teams do to really, really bad football teams. I loved every second of it.
My number two was the Michigan game, specifically that Surratt touchdown early in the game, where it basically sealed the deal. Obviously got some scaries in the second half, but I felt like that game for the most part was in control because our defense is nails. And, you know, our offense was going to do enough to make enough plays, and they did, barely, but they got the win.
Yeah, it is always funny going back and like hearing that score get brought up again, or like, because it just feels like Indiana won it by
going 10-0 too in the Big Ten, or in for the first time ever, first 10-win season in program history, by defeating the defending champ at home. Like, if that's the peak of the season. I mean, it's close. I feel like the best is yet to come, but I mean, it's pretty good.
Well, no, it's crazy. I didn't even think about putting that on my list.
It's like the peak of the season, basically. We were like 10-0.
It was their best win on paper, for sure. At least in terms of like what it did for their national standing. After they beat Michigan, everybody was like, oh, wait, maybe Indiana is pretty good.
Maybe Indiana's okay. Maybe.
Just maybe.
Who's your number one? Is number one considered like peak of the season? Just personal favorite.
No. These are personal favorites.
I would say I have Michigan on my list just because I think that's like the peak of the season. I think that's important when you're talking about like your favorite. So I have picture frames from that day in my house. framed pictures from that day. An unreal victory.
My number one moment memory from this season that I will take with me for so long. # thank you to the University of Nebraska.
That's my number one.
That 2 weeks, the build-up to the Nebraska game and the 56-7 ass beating that Kurt Cignetti's Indiana Hoosiers handed Matt Rule's Nebraska Cornhuskers.
It's my favorite too.
I mean, I don't even know where to start. Where do you start? Like, it was the entire thing was brilliant.
The peak
it was,
of
like,
that game had to be the Sean Asbury pick.
Oh my god,
that had to be. Like, we knew we were whooping them, and then he got that pick and almost took it to the house, and we're like, oh, we're going to whoop them.
America!
They have a football team now.
Indiana! They have a football team! Yeah, you're goddamn right we do, Gus. You're goddamn right we do. Yeah, that was fucking awesome. Every single second of that game. The fact that Taven Jackson was in the third quarter. The only thing that sucked about that game was the Rourke thumb injury.
True.
Other than that,
can't have everything.
Like, no, you can't. It can't be perfect. But what's a season without a little adversity?
Yeah, that game that he missed. But made both our top five favorite moments.
100%. And then just the fact that like Nebraska, the entire fan base was just convinced that they were the reason why this mass of people was descending on Memorial Stadium. And like in the past, they were correct. But there was a lot of cream and crimson in that stadium. And that's what sparked this sellout streak and this real firestorm of Indiana football in the like national space started after that game.
Yeah, we're going to beat Notre Dame. I don't think Notre Dame could do what we did at Nebraska at home. Like Nebraska.
Not many teams did.
I don't think any other team did.
Yeah, that was yeah, the hashtag thank you Nebraska was just it was incredible. It was incredible. I still get legs out of that. And then to what kind of what we were talking about before, and to look at where Indiana's program was a year ago, and to look at where Nebraska's program was 2 years ago when Matt Rhule took over, and then to look at where Kurt Cignetti brought the Hoosiers in year one, and look at where Matt Rhule is with Nebraska in year two,
Gotta put him on the hot seat.
and they're like it's
Do they have as much
like if
NIL as
you're
us?
this isn't a Nebraska podcast, but like if you're a Nebraska booster or alumni football fan, how do you not look at what happened in our Memorial Stadium and go,
What the hell?
what's going on here?
That's
What the
what
heck,
kind of
guys?
sparked all the Cignetti's gonna leave rumors. Anyways, like that type of
Yeah, he
thing.
was like, oh shit, is he like, oh my God, is he too good? And honestly, again, I wrote this for HoosierHuddle.com when Cignetti signed his contract extension, that Scott Dolsten and Pam Whitten, athletic director and school president, need to take a bow for getting this extension done as quickly as they did, and then for taking the next 10 to 14 days and getting the other nine and Derek Owens extended too. Who knows what happens if they don't get that extension done? Like, we just saw the West Virginia job open up. Like, Cignetti was the quarterback there. His dad coached there. That could have been enticing. We don't know what other jobs are going to open up. What happens if Ohio State, we're not, I'm going to save that for the college football playoff talk we have, we're going to do in a little bit. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you never know. And so, yeah, the fact that they were able to lock him down as quickly as they were and then act almost doubly as quickly to lock down the rest of the staff. It's just a master class in how to fire start a program.
The sleeping giant was awoken that day.
The
That's
volcanoes.
when
The volcanoes erupted
Indiana
that
football
day.
became a thing that day.
For
A
sure.
true thing. Like obviously we were on this podcast early. We knew this was coming, but to this extent, unbelievable. What a season so far. Can't wait for Notre Dame. It's almost
Brilliant.
like
Brilliant.
feels team of destiny-ish. However, it's the playoff. Notre Dame's a great team. Can't wait to preview them next week. It's gonna be a great game. I mean, I don't expect to do what I did in Nebraska to Notre Dame. But then again, going into that Nebraska game, we thought that was gonna be pretty close. We're like kind of close.
I mean, we both had it as double-digit wins for the Hoosiers, but neither of us had
I
it
don't
as
think
that
either
big
of
of an
us had
ass
it more
whooping.
than 20 going into that.
That's what good football teams do to not good football teams.
Insane.
Yeah, our list actually looked exactly the same.
Yeah, minus the Michigan, and then you.
Yeah, you picked the harder fought, like we need this game for like the playoff hopes game, and I picked the nobody cared about this one, but it showed me something that I knew I was looking at a good football team game.
Yeah. I think
I
yeah,
like it.
that's good. What's up next? Now
Do
what are we
you
talking
want
about?
to? You have a little portal spiel you want to deliver to the good people of Indiana Nation.
I guess I had a spiel. I just have some just kind of a way of thinking about how the roster is right now and how you should be thinking about the portal.
Well, I do want to preface
'Cause I'm doing a
this,
lot of window shopping and I
obviously
want people
by.
to be window shopping at the right places. Like we shouldn't be looking at tight ends or corners. You know, we're good at those positions as of now.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate, obviously the focus 100% on Notre Dame in the college football playoff round one matchup that the Hoosiers have coming next Friday. But obviously, like we said, the portal is open. Official visits are
I
happening.
mean, it's part of the fun of being a
We
fan. We
are
got like The coaches are doing
We are
the same
in the
thing.
eye of the
Coaches
storm.
are doing the same thing. They're all talking about this stuff
Yeah,
too.
I think it's more than fair to evaluate the team.
They're not even evaluating the team, they're evaluating the roster in terms of like how it's
I'm talking about
constructed.
you.
I mean, well, okay.
I'm not talking about them.
Well, they're doing it too. The coaches. 71 returning scholarship players. That's including Turvey and Utzinger, who are walk-ons, but I think they're going to get scholarships. So that's 71 scholarship guys without Nick Kidwell, who needs a medical waiver to come back. So we have about 14 open spots as of right now. By the way, 38 of those 71 are from the last two classes. So we're very, very young, which means we need a lot. We're probably going to need more than 14 guys, potentially. So don't be surprised if we see people from IU go to the portal at some point. But yeah, we need O linemen.
We didn't touch on it because we didn't do a ton of smoke. But Elijah Green, well, is the first member of
the
this.
First surprising.
Well,
the first surprising.
I guess not technically.
First guy that got PT.
I don't know if it was surprising because he was kind of blocked the whole year. He got some carries. But it was definitely like he was being looked at to be one of those guys in that Ellison Lawton role of when we need to hand somebody the ball, it's going to be one of you
yeah,
two.
It was supposed to be black and green next year.
So it was, yeah, it was a little bit surprising to see him enter the portal. But when you look at the type of talent that they'll probably be able to attract, I like Elijah Green a lot as a talent, as a kid. But they should be able to replace
yeah.
him.
I mean, first off, they're going to need a quarterback to come in.
100%.
A lot of people are talking about Fernando Mendoza.
Let's have the Fernando Mendoza discussion real quick because
there's
there is
a sibling
a
on the team.
Giant glaring – well, there's a giant glaring conflict of interest here with specifically with Fernando Mendoza and Indiana's current and UCLA's soon-to-be – Coach Tino Sinceri. Coach Sinceri has been nothing but pure class since he became an Indiana Hoosier. He's been phenomenal as the quarterbacks coach and co-offensive coordinator of the Hoosiers. Cannot say enough good things about Tino Sinceri. Congratulations to the Sinceri family. We acknowledge they're having a baby. Pumped for them. Super cool opportunity that Tino's got going out to be the OC in out in Hollywood. But he's like. Mendoza is going to take a visit to Indiana, and he's probably going to visit UCLA too to choose which one of those schools he's going to want to go to, and Tino's in both rooms.
We got to hire a quarterback coach.
Well, yes, but it's like it's definitely going to be interesting to see how they handle the recruitment because, obviously, like you said, there's a sibling on the team. Alberto Mendoza is Fernando's younger brother. He's a quarterback that was recruited by Sinceri. There's a relationship, obviously, that's been built there between the family and the quarterback's coach. So do you have him be a part of that visit because of the pre-existing relationship the families already have? Or do you not even want to risk Sinceri being a part of that visit because he's going to be UCLA's offensive coordinator and he's going to try and recruit Mendoza to go there? Not that I think Tino would do anything like nefarious or like underhanded, but he's got a job to do. And his job, well, while right now it is to help Indiana win the college football playoff, the second the whistle ends on Indiana's season, he's a UCLA Bruin. And his job is to get them ready to compete in 2025. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see how they handle Mendoza's visit specifically.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting. We got his little brother on the team. I think UCLA is a really good shot at him because Fernando probably knew Tino before, you know, anyone else at IU.
Well, he's also already at Cal, right? So he's already in California.
I mean, I guess. He's from Florida, so it really doesn't matter. He can go anywhere.
Yeah, but it's a little bit it's you're eliminating that travel barrier because he's already out there. So it's like one of the biggest barriers, presumably, for somebody would be they don't want to be that far away from their family. But if they're already there and one of the biggest issues they're having isn't homesickness, then, like, I don't – that's not really an issue.
He would be my top choice of all the people that are in right now. Some other names to look out for: Miller Moss. I guess
Miller Moss was sidelined. Miller Moss was sidelined at a Louisville basketball game this week.
I like it. ACC for Miller.
If you guys could see this, if you could see the smile on Brad's face right now,
he's not going to Indiana.
It's a big one.
Yeah. Thank God.
It's a big one. I saw Sig follow Jackson Arnold too. Should we go through his like recent follows real quick? Do you want to keep going? I'll go through it.
It was Arnold, Moss, and Mendoza. Early, before Mendoza was even in the portal.
I don't know if Kurt Cignetti following somebody is the best indicator of if Indiana's going to recruit them or not, based on just some of the names I'm seeing in here. But yeah, sorry, continue.
Yeah, that's all I got on quarterback. We just need a guy. I think Mendoza's clearly the target as of right now. There's probably going to be more guys that enter the portal as well, so it's early. It's early for that one.
I think the quarterback room, they need to add
soon.
They need somebody to bring somebody in
that,
to compete with Taven.
Yeah,
but
we need to go fast. Actually, that needs to be one of the first.
Even if they don't, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm not confident in Tyler Cherry or Alberto Mendoza being able to step in and compete with Taven Jackson for that starting spot next year. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 6 to 8 months of development before they take the first snap of the season. So I'm not going to count any of those guys in that room out. They were recruited for a reason. But Taven is obviously the oldest guy in that room, and they're young. So bringing in a guy with experience and who's capable of running the Cignetti-Shanahan offense, we've seen pay dividends before, so it wouldn't be surprising to see Indiana go that route again.
They're definitely getting a portal quarterback. They're 100% getting a quarterback. There's no other option. They have to get a quarterback. They have to have someone compete with Taven and Cherry and Mendoza. They only have three guys. You need four.
Ooh, Brad, this isn't like breaking news, but this did just pop across the timeline. Kurt Cignetti, 2024 Coach of the Year, official from Fox College Football. Kurt Cignetti is your Coach of the Year.
As expected. That's why we're recording and not watching. It's like, do your own thing. We were expecting this. It's all business.
All business. Wide receiver, Brad. Who do you have your eye on? Do you have your eye on anybody? Do you just want to highlight the position?
We're going to bring in a running back, too, with Green gone. We only have three scholarship guys right now.
We'll have to – I think I could see them bringing in two running backs.
TJ Harden is a name to watch out for. UCLA, Quentin Joyner, USC. Fluff Bothwell, South Alabama. Watch out. That's who I'd want. I'm just going window shopping. Like, who would I want on this team? Are you looking up these? What are you doing?
No. I was trying to sneak in a tweet off the podcast account.
The All right, good.
Coach
good.
Of the year.
No, well done. Well done.
No.
Well done. Tight end, I don't think we're going to go anywhere there. Unless some guys leave and we might fill in some gaps. It's kind of a full room right now. Six guys. Bringing in two freshmen. Kind of packed house. Receiver, on the other hand, they could bring in anywhere from one to three guys. Probably they're probably going to bring in multiple.
Yeah, they have a really exciting class coming in, and obviously, we're assuming. I'm going to start doing like a sorry jar, where every time I say obviously, I'm just going to like put a dollar in the jar, and then I'll donate after the month or something, I'll donate the money to Hoosier Connect. I got to stop saying this damn word. But we're assuming Surratt and Cooper are coming back to school. Charlie Becker is a freshman in the room right now. Jaja Boyd has some ball skills, but I doubt they flip him. I know he's a DB, but he's I'm just saying. But that's pretty much it in terms of the receiving room coming back. They have Davion Chandler, who's a Lawrence North kid, who's cold. Like he's
gonna play. He's receiver three.
Right, he's gonna play. Like this dude's legit. He's starting right now. They have Miles Kendrick coming in, who's a absolute speed demon from Jacksonville. They have LeBron Bond coming in, who's a speed demon.
But
they have lots and lots of speed coming in.
Only six guys. But they play young. Seven. And these guys are young. They're gonna bring in some talent. They already brought in Javon Tracy from Miami, Ohio, on a visit. Some names to watch out for. I like, in terms of realistic, J. Mike Sturdivant, another UCLA guy. That'd be a good guy to bring in. Eric Rivers on FIU.
You think all these West Coast guys are going to come to Bloomington?
Yeah. I think TJ Harden is probably more likely. J. Mike's more of a wish list for me. Dude's cold.
I know you're a big J. Mike guy. I saw him hit the portal, and I was like, oh, Brad's going to want him.
Well, because you're telling me KC Concepcion is out. That's that.
He narrowed down his list.
He'd be perfect. So we need a slot type guy. J-Mike's not really that guy. That's more Tracy and Eric Rivers from FIU. He'd be a good option.
There's a couple guys from FIU that, I mean, I know we really don't need a tight end, but whichever Beers is the better one is a really good player too.
Yeah, I think we're okay at tight end for now. We'll see. Guys can leave. You know, wouldn't be surprised to see more guys enter the portal for whatever reason. Seems pretty popular these days. Oh, they need like two O-linemen. They're going to need a tackle. If Kidwell comes back, they're probably going to need just one, but they need a right tackle. Bad.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. I haven't seen a ton of portal linemen, so I don't even know what direction they're gonna go. I do know that a couple of the guys they have in the room from the class of 2024 are just Bob Bostead prototype guys that are gonna be able to slot all over that offensive line. I think guard is gonna be covered, but to your point, I'm not really sure what the depth looks like at tackle. And then we also don't know what Carter Smith's gonna do. Again, that's another guy we can assume may come back, but he's a dude who could also get drafted.
Yeah, so this group is right now at 13. You typically want, you know, 15. You want to go three deep scholarship, typically. They weren't at that last year, and they managed just fine, but that's kind of what you want in terms of, you know, O-line recruitment. Seven of those guys are from the last two classes. So they just have a lot of youth. Obviously, there's guys that can emerge. But you're going to want some competition in there, too, at the same time. So we'll see what they do. Maybe they don't go O-line. Maybe they focus more. It's a lesser need, but I think it'd be really nice to bring in an outside guy to kind of round out that group. And hopefully Kidwell's back.
Yeah, we went over this when we did this senior day. Like thank yous, but Kidwell did participate in senior day. That doesn't necessarily mean his career is over and that he's moving on from football, but it doesn't really indicate that he's planning on staying around for another year either. So it's probably unlikely that Kidwell comes back, but can't say I've heard anything one way or the other. So
yeah, we'll see what they do. They'll evaluate in spring, definitely. And they'll see where the O-line market's at there as well, as they should. Then defense. D-line is just, we lose all four starters on the D-line. We got to go D-line. D-line's probably the biggest position of need in the portal right now. What do you think?
Yeah, I would 100% agree. I would say they probably need another playmaker either in the backfield or in the like in that wide receiver room, just as like an established guy who's produced. But no, if you were going to circle the biggest area of need in this team, if they were just going to add, if you're like, okay, you can only fill one spot on this football team from the portal, it would be the defensive line. You just hit it. Four starters left. They're losing Mikal Kamara, who's literally leading the nation in pressures. C.J. West and James Carpenter. It doesn't always show up in the box score, but those dudes are absolute run game wreckers. It's impossible to run against this Indiana front seven, and it's largely because of the work that those two guys are doing in the middle. And then Lenell Carr Jr. has been awesome as the stud. They have a couple guys who have, you know, played some this year. Landino, Mario Landino, got playing time early as a true freshman. He flashed a lot.
Burris.
Tyreek Tucker's in Burris the room. And
Tucker.
Marcus Burris. Tariq Collins, too? Is
yeah,
he
he's
in, the,
in
room?
The room. He's in the room. I don't know if he played too much. Turvey's going to be returning. But, I mean, they got at least four spots to fill. Four spots in that room right now. I don't know if they're going to be starters. We'll see Landino, Burris. Probably get a lot more PT next year. But yeah, big position of need. Linebacker though, they look pretty good.
I mean, they're
with Fisher coming
well,
back.
To kind of put a bow, and I mean that's insane. I can't believe Fisher gets to come back for another year. That's so crazy. But to put a bow on the defensive line, they did have Hosey, is that his name? Hosey Wheeler.
Yeah, the
from Western Kentucky. Yeah, he is. By many accounts, one of the best defensive tackles in the portal. Indiana had him on campus. I believe it was either today or yesterday. He's at Wisconsin. He's at Wisconsin today, so probably yesterday. But you know they're making moves in the portal. They're having impact guys come on official visits, and they're coming early. So that's really exciting. But yeah, like you said, linebackers probably the one group where they probably don't need to add. Fisher coming back is insane. Roe Hardy flashed a lot this year. Bones Jones was phenomenal this year when he played. Utsinger, who you mentioned earlier, is a potential guy to get a scholarship as a walk-on. He's a dude Cignetti went out of his way to mention a bunch of times this year. That's a really solid room under Coach Brian Haynes. And they brought in two dudes in this class, in the class of 25. Paul Nelson, I believe, and...
Yeah, they go four deep scholarship in that room. Farmer, Nelson are the freshmen to come in. Jamari Farmer. Last year, yeah. Jamari Farmer, who's probably going to start, obviously, with the fours as a true freshman, but I think has a shot to maybe beat out, you know, make his way up to the threes, twos, maybe. I mean, Fisher, Hardy, Jones, Utsinger all got ticked this year. Utsinger not so much on defense, but a lot more special teams, but he's a guy that's played a good amount of football for Indiana, so I'm confident in his ability. Come in there and fill the role because we need to focus on some DBs. Safeties, I think the starting safety spot's pretty in a good spot, especially with Bonds, Baldwin, and Farrell. We could probably use a Rover to come in. Maybe Farrell moves back there, bring in Bonds. We still need a lot more depth, especially at the safety spot. We have a ton of corner. We go 10 scholarship right now, so looking good there. It's more so like the safety Rover type position for us at DB.
Yeah, replacing Sean Asbury, it's going to be tough. Obviously, there's another dollar in the jar. But 1 year with the Hoosiers, highly, highly productive. Terry Jones, another guy, 1 year with the Hoosiers, highly, highly productive. They're going to have to replace those guys. Byron Baldwin Jr., I've been singing his praises for a long time on this podcast. He's a phenomenal football player. If he's ready to play as a true freshman, he's going to be playing. If he's not ready to play as a true freshman,
it'll probably be Bonds.
Then they're going to have to fill that spot too.
It'll probably be Bonds. But they'll bring in some dudes. They'll bring him. Dylan Tynemann. Dylan Tynemann Purdue. A guy named watch out for us.
The good news for Indiana is that the longer Kurt Cignetti is here, the stronger the roster is going to get. And the less they'll have to go to the portal to fill major holes on the roster. And instead, they'll go into the portal for one, two, three, four, like high impact guys.
Oh, yeah.
They're not yet the program that's going to, like, there was a rumor I saw on Twitter today that Quinn Ewers has a $4 million NIL offer on the table from a Big Ten school to come play quarterback and spur in the NFL draft for a year. Like, Indiana, I can promise you, is not that school. They have a shitload of money. If you saw the graphic, I think, it, what was it, $13 million is the fund, Justin, donations is what you said earlier. Like, they have a shitload of money. But they also have... they have to use that money to fill a bunch of different spots on the roster. Versus, like, you look at a team like an Ohio State or like an Oregon where they can kind of cherry pick guys out of the transfer portal. They're not replacing 10, 12 guys. When you get to year three, year four of Kurt Cignetti, and you have essentially what is going to be a full roster of their recruiting classes, you're just going to be supplementing. And so those giant NIL bags that were going to portal guys to get them to come are just going to be bigger bags to higher impact players and less of them.
Yeah, exactly.
They just won't need to fill as many holes.
That's how roster building goes. But we're still in that phase. We're like, it's like, just imagine when these freshmen that are, you know, coming in, these 38 freshmen that we have right now, the redshirt freshmen from last year, the true freshmen coming in, wait till they're junior, seniors. It's...
but you can't give one guy $4 million when you need to fill 10 spots and six of them are starters. But if you need to fill one or two, that's a little bit of a different ballgame.
We got to get in the whole D-line. And we need a punter. And we need a punter and a long snapper. Like, we have needs.
No. We have a 5-star long snapper coming in, Brad. Unless he didn't sign.
He's not on 24/7. Who's the 5-star long snapper?
Langston? Langhogston?
Langston was the guy last year.
Am I making this up? No, I swear they have somebody.
I don't know. Langston's a senior, so they need to fill that hole. Maybe they already got the guy. Who knows? As far as I know, they don't. But, yeah, we need a punter. What are you doing?
Yeah, I was looking to see if I could figure out who this 5-star was.
There's no 5-star. There's no... doesn't exist.
I'm gonna find it at 2 a.m. I'm gonna send it to you. I'm not worried about a punter either. Indiana was bottom 10 in the nation in punting. Stick taping back there. You know what I mean?
You need a good punting game to win that Michigan game.
No, you do. James Evans is extremely important. I don't want to diminish the punter. The punter is extremely important right now. I was simply saying that Indiana doesn't punt, and so
We'll punt at some point.
But no, you're right. Field position, yeah, they have to.
Yeah, it's a skill position, exactly. Yeah. They need it.
We're going to go into more depth about specific transfer targets as more news comes out, as more guys enter the portal, as more visits start to happen. We'll see the natural shake of the transfer cycle. But that's kind of what the roster is looking like, where Indiana's already looking to add, where they're going to be looking to add, and kind of the positions that they can leave alone. Anything else to put a bow on a transfer portal talk, Brad?
Yeah, just excited to see what we do. Should be a bit like a more flashy class than last year. And that class turned out to be pretty good, so. Or maybe it's not flashy. Maybe it's just the same old...
No, actually, I would disagree. I think it's going to be very similar. It's going to be a bunch of guys who are highly productive at smaller schools that were largely overlooked, that with a combination of athleticism and adaptation and scheme are able to compete at the highest level. And we're going to see it again.
Nailed it. But we get a flashy quarterback. That's for sure.
Would you consider Mendoza to be flashy?
He's like the number one right now. He's the number one quarterback in the portal.
Wouldn't it be, would it not be Ewers? I guess he's
not
not in
in
the
the
portal.
portal. Cromanhook.
Malik
Cromanhook
Murphy?
from Florida State, but he's like, he hasn't done anything. He's a freshman. And those is like the best of the guys that have played. He's above Murphy, Weigman, Moss, Mensah. I think Mensah's pretty good.
Weigman committed today.
Mensah to Duke was pretty good.
Mensah also committed
Duke
today.
Was big. Yeah, Weigman to Houston. It's going fast.
Things move quickly, especially for non-playoff teams. Like, Nebraska just got the, well, I don't even remember his name, that five-star edge from Mizzou. Like, the famous video of Drinkwitz, like, freaking out in the Mizzou, like, war room when that five-star committed, and then, like, not even a year later, he's transferring to Nebraska.
So, I'm just saying Raiola's going to the portal.
Doubtful.
I know. It won't happen. I promise. No. All right. Game week. Army, Navy. It's the Bryson Daly, Luke Horvat Bowl. Two of the best Army Navy teams in recent memory go at it this weekend on Saturday. And we're here to preview a little bit of it. You know, it's the best, I think it's the best rivalry in college football. And here's why.
I would say it's definitely the purest.
It gets its own day. And it has for like over a
That's
decade.
Fair.
It's the best rivalry. Every football fan watches this game.
Only a decade?
Standalone game? Yeah.
For only for 10 years?
Yeah, I don't think it's always been like that.
Interesting. You could have fooled me. You could have been like, for centuries it's been like this.
No,
been here
I'll be
nodding.
Honest.
Like,
I can
yeah.
remember when Army
Centuries.
Navy was on the same day as like other games.
Sacrilege.
Usually it'd be on conference championship week. A lot of times.
Do they always play it at M&T Bank, or do
they
rotate?
Rotate?
So where is it this year?
I should have had this prepared before we previewed the game. Probably should have figured out where they're playing. That would have been. They're playing in Landover, Maryland. Northwest Stadium. They usually play in cooler venues.
I can't wait to get just absolutely destroyed on the fact like this is like an epic venue and we're just like
they played they played at MetLife pretty recently.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I'm actually.
I didn't realize Navy was kind of like that.
Yeah,
I knew Army was pretty good.
Combined wins between both of them going into this game. Army 11-1. Yeah, because they played the extra game with the conference title. And then 8-3 for Navy. Probably one of the highest win totals for any matchup ever. They didn't play as many games back in the day. But they used to be two of the top programs in the country, you know, coming up, you know, in the 90s, probably up until probably the 70s. Then they started falling back. But, like, they have a few, I think Army has a few national titles and Heisman winners. Navy has a Heisman winner, at least a few. At least one. Historic programs.
Well, back when football was just a sport and not like pay to play like pro sports, which like this isn't me having a problem with it. It's just like, yeah, of course, if you're going to take but like really good athletes, like, yeah, Army's probably going to have some really good teams. But the second you start focusing on strictly football and the Army cadet has to go do his other cadet duties, like how do you compete? The fact that Army's as good as they are right now is insane.
I mean, they have to do – there's so much you have to go through to get into Army. And then
to just maintain
football.
Being
yeah,
there.
Play football.
Oh, Navy too, like both of those schools. Like to be in the armed forces, like to be at one of those academies. And like, don't you have to play a sport to be at least an Army, right?
Yeah. I mean, Army Army has 5 national championships. 27
Damn.
weeks at the AP number one. 3 first round NFL draft picks, 37 consensus All-Americans. And they just won their first conference championship, and they have 3 Heisman winners. Navy,
and 5 national
who
championships.
I'm a fan of. I actually think, like, my cousin was in the Navy, so I root for Navy. But I also think Army's football team is very cool, very historically relevant. Navy, in the same way, very historically relevant, so I lean Navy. 2 Heisman winners, 1 national championship. Not quite the same relevancy as Army in terms of history, but recency, Navy has been probably more the power. They have 24 bowl games compared to 10 for Army all time. And they have more wins.
Navy has more
all
wins?
All time, yeah. By about 8.
Wow.
746 to 738.
I guess we're a podcast divided.
Oh. Are you an Army guy? Yeah,
go
I'm
Army.
Go Navy.
Beat Navy.
Beat Army.
I love all the armed. I'm obviously a big fan of both.
See, everyone picks a side, you know.
You have to pick a side. It's a rivalry. Football is played on land, though. How do you not choose the guys on land?
Navy SEALs killed Bin Laden. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah.
Yeah, but there
Navy
was,
holds the longest
I mean,
win streak
too,
at 14 from 02 to 2015. And the largest victory.
Yikes.
And the largest victory.
That's definitely like the worst time to go on a long losing
streak. Yeah, that ain't the 70s. That's the century. 14 straight.
No.
Yikes. Recently, however, Army has won 3 of the last 4.
Coming back in a big way.
It's cute. It's nice. I mean, it's 2 of the best quarterback. It's probably the best quarterback matchup both ways. Probably since that Keenan Reynolds matchup. I think Army had a pretty good quarterback back then. I mean, but these two guys were like both talked about as like potential Heisman guys at some point in the year. Bryson Daly at Army and Luke Horvat at Navy. 2 really good players. Very excited to watch that game. It's going to be, I don't know. I think it's going to be somewhat high scoring. I like 21-17 Navy.
I have to be completely honest. I haven't watched enough of either of these two teams play to give a score prediction. I just know Army controls the clock and runs the ball really well. And if they're doing that to teams that are 100% focused on football, I like them to run the ball down Navy's throat too. So I like, do you know what the line is?
The line is Army minus 6.5. So I'm.
Ooh. I like Army money line.
Army minus 6.5?
I don't like the
yeah,
points.
Of course you don't. Navy money line is my pick. Like Horvat.
Shout out to America. America wins this game.
I think Navy, I don't know, we'll see. It's going to be a tough one for Navy. This is a really good Army team. It's going to be just won a conference title.
Army-Navy this Saturday. It's the only game in town.
3 o'clock
Eastern.
Washington,
what else are you doing?
By the way, Northwest Stadium's where the Commanders play.
Ah,
changed
that's
it.
Why nobody
yeah.
knew what it was.
No longer FedEx Field.
Did they build a new one yet or no?
I don't think so. No.
Desperate need. That could be a whole different podcast, though. You want to talk some college football playoff?
Yeah, for the first time ever, the CFP is expanding to 12 teams, and you can own a piece of that history from Nyko Sports. That's NIKCO. Nyko Sports for $119.95. Get your limited edition football of only 5,000 featuring your Indiana Hoosiers and every other school with their shot of winning the national title. Each ball is fully licensed by the NCAA and member schools and embossed for the highest quality to add to your collection. Use code SIGS at checkout for 10% off. $10. $10.
Not ten.
$10
Yeah.
off your purchase. To learn more, call 1-800-346-2868. That's 1-800-345-2868. Or visit nikosports.com. That's NIKCO.com. I know you're supposed to. I know
yeah,
you're
Nyko
supposed to do
Sports.
ad read, but I just kind of went with it.
You just wanted to jump in. Yeah, Nyko's a really cool company. They've been in business since 1990. They make collectible footballs, baseballs, bats, pucks, etc. You know, for championships, milestones, and cultural moments, stuff like that. The football it generally encompasses college football champions, number one picks, major milestones for programs or players, Super Bowls, etc. You can check out their website, like Brad said, nikosports.com, NIKCOsports.com. The football itself, it's the first of its kind. Full-size football, as Brad said, fully licensed by the NCAA and its member schools. There's only 5,000 of these, so get them quick. They're going to go quickly. Each of them fully embossed in the style of engraving. Each football comes with an individually numbered certificate of authenticity from Nyko. The first panel has all 12 teams in their rankings. The second panel has the full color logos of each of the 12 teams in the playoff, as well as their season record and the conference championship information if it applies. The third panel is full color bowl logos for six bowl hostings for the playoffs after the first round, quarterfinal, semifinal, and the national championship. And the fourth panel is a gold-plated panel, the college football playoff logo on either side. The football is really cool. We're going to throw up a picture of it when we post the podcast link. We'll also have a short link with our code on there as well. Like Brad said, code is SIGS, C-I-G-S. Put it in all caps. Check out nikosports.com.
Did you read off?
Let's talk some...
Oh man, we sold out so hard. But yeah, college football preview. We got a great group of games coming up. Should we talk about the Big Ten bowls first or no? Who cares? Who cares?
No, I mean, do you have them in front of you or no? Because if you're just staring at the bracket, then no. But if you are staring at like the list of all the bowl games and you want to rip them quickly, like yeah, sure, why not?
Well, it's funny enough, we're actually the first Big Ten team to play in the postseason. Fun fact.
Yeah, it's like December 20th is like when they play like the Chips Ahoy Double Dunk, Saturday
the
Bowl,
Staff DNA,
in
the Staff
Wyoming.
DNA Cure Bowl, and the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl. Idiot.
Listen, I'm not here. I am wearing an Indiana football. I'm wearing my Curtis Rourke Aiden Fisher 2024 shirt. I love my Indiana Hoosiers. I am by no means demeaning any bowl game or any bowl win or anything like of that nature. But if you're talking about importance, whatever two bowl games you just mentioned, whatever
the
DNA Reliant West
DNA
Bowl,
Cure Bowl and the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. And then the college football playoff round one. It's like the level of importance between those two and the game that Indiana is going to be playing in.
I don't know. Ohio, Jacksonville State, two conference champs playing that day. I don't know.
No Rich Rod, though.
No Rich Rod. And Ohio lost their coach, too, didn't he? Didn't they? Oh, no, I'm thinking of Marshall.
You're thinking of Marshall, yeah.
Well, for the Big Ten, they also have the Rate Bowl. Rutgers is taking on K-State. That'll be a good opportunity for Big Ten to kind of show face. That's why I like kind of talking about it. What do you think their chances are against K-State? You can speed run it. Just say something.
No, I was going to say, no, it's because it's a miserable matchup for Rutgers. Like, Rutgers is like can give certain teams problems, but I think Kansas State just has too much
for
them.
They do. USC, A&M, in the Las Vegas
Bowl. What? They're sending him back to Vegas. They're like, that's where they beat A&M. Just so like
they beat LSU.
Run it we back. Got,
I love USC.
Or the, I LSU, love, yeah, I love exactly.
USC in this matchup. I love it.
You're crazy. You're nuts.
I'm not crazy. I feel like the Joker right now. He's like, you're crazy. And you're like, I'm like, I'm not. We quoted The Dark Knight right there. I'm not.
When
crazy.
Life imitates art, right?
Boston College, Nebraska, in the Pinstripe Bowl. They're going to New York, Yankee Stadium. Nebraska, winnable.
It feels sacrilege to put Boston College, which is located about 20 minutes outside of Boston, in the Pinstripe Bowl. That feels like some sort of cruel joke, no?
Could be.
I like Nebraska.
I do like Nebraska's chances there. Well, we're gonna have a bowl game extravaganza.
Especially if that transfer is playing
on Saturday. Bowl game.
Is that what you want?
Bowl game extravaganza.
Bowl game extravaganza.
All the games.
So we have a bunch of guests. So we have a bunch of guests on. Should we just have people on?
No.
A panel. Thinking like 30, 40 people.
Let's get me.
100 people.
You, white boy Rick. We could get Dave Portnoy and Timothy Chalamet. I think that'd be a good.
Oh, the boys just grab the boys. Oh, let me just text Tim.
Who else knows ball?
Oh, Matt. Yeah,
ball knowers. I just need ball knowers. So no Dave Portnoy. No
Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, Kyle Schwarber.
Kyle Schwarber.
That's a good group.
Let's talk ball.
We could just talk UConn. UConn.
Me, you.
UConn plays UNC. Let's talk about it. In Fenway.
Me, you, white boy Rick, Timothy Chalamet, and Kyle Schwarber.
You know what's funny? The Fenway Bowl and the Pinstripe Bowl are on at the same time. It's like the rivalry never stops.
If we can't deliver on those guests, it's Brad's fault. Okay, sorry. Continue.
We're getting Timothy Chalamet. I'm not even worried.
He's got to start somewhere.
Not even worried about him the slightest. Iowa's taking on Missouri in the Music City Bowl. Love that matchup for us. Go Big Ten.
Yep, I also love that matchup for us. I
love this one even more.
As somebody who does... I appreciate Jersey matchups, though, when they do these bowl games. And just Iowa-Mizzou is a disgusting visual matchup.
But a much better visual, we get Bama, Michigan again. How good was that visual last year? So good. Sexy, some would call it. The ReliaQuest Bowl, they're going to Jacksonville. How about that?
So sorry.
Hell yeah.
That's straight smack dab in the middle of SEC country.
Michigan's going to mop them. It's going to be awesome.
That's a home game for Alabama.
Can't wait for that game. Who cares?
Defense travels.
In El Paso, Texas on CBS, the Sun Bowl, a bowl game I've attended. Very close to my heart.
Oh.
It was called the... St. James for some nut when I went there. But now it's the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. A pretty iconic bowl in and of itself. You don't know much about the Sun Bowl. It's like one of the sixth oldest bowl games out there. It takes place in El Paso. It's one of the first bowl games, top 10 oldest. Go look it up if you care. Louisville, Washington. What a matchup. Talk about good on the eyes. Red on purple. You like that?
Yeah, you want to talk about an aesthetic matchup.
Yeah.
That's a great game.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Washington, I like that matchup for them too. I think the Big Ten is set up pretty nicely in terms of how they drew.
I agree. The only matchup I haven't, I don't like the A&M matchup either, but the K-State Rutgers matchup is miserable.
Yeah, not the best, but I think, you know, Rutgers, they could embarrass themselves. Yeah. They could shit their pants. They're not that good. They beat Va Tech, who turned out to be okay. I guess, maybe. No.
Would you? Nah, Rutgers plays from.
Yeah. Would you? Would you consider this an aesthetic matchup? South Carolina, Illinois. I kind of like it. The black on orange. Black on orange.
The jerseys, the two individual jerseys themselves, phenomenal. Together though, they just.
They're too unique.
They just they look too like unique. They're clashed. Too unique. They're yeah. Well, they're too similar. They're almost too similar.
Yeah, the orange and the red.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's not just it's not red. It's like garnet, so it's like a little bit more burnt. It's
yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what they end up putting out there, but it's like it's and then you do like the blue in there, and then they're accented with the orange, and it looks like the Mets. And it's like
yeah. Texas State, who was my pick to make the college football playoff this year. Well, not really. I did say on one of the first episodes that they do have a path to go undefeated. They went 7-5 this year. They're playing in the First Responder Bowl against North Texas. That's an aesthetically pleasing matchup. Green on maroon.
It is. Yeah, that is brown.
No, maroon. No, maroon brown. And gold versus green.
Are they maroon? I'm pretty sure they're brown.
I promise you. And then Minnesota takes on Vautech. They're going to mop them. Minnesota's going to mop Virginia Tech. It's going to be bad.
I was going to say, there's going to be one of these games isn't going to be balanced. They're going to give one back to the Big Ten.
That's the one they gave back.
Another jersey matchup. Brutal.
Another maroon on maroon. Woof.
Ugh. Terrible. Yikes.
Or it's what more of doing? A burgundy. You know, you always confuse. It's like maroon and burgundy have had this beef. For a long time. You can never tell which was which in the box. You'd always mix them up. They're so similar. You know, you have your 50 pencil pack, and you're like, which one's maroon, which one's burgundy? You know? And this is it. So, Minnesota team maroon, burgundy for Virginia Tech. Probably one of the bigger games in the slate. The Mayo Bowl. How about that?
It's a huge... Wait, who's the Pop-Tart Bowl this year?
Pop-Tart Bowl. Oh.
This is stepping all over bowl extravaganza. All right, hold off on the Pop-Tart Bowl.
Yeah, Miami's in that. I think it's Iowa State. It's going to be a good bowl.
That is, yeah.
Pop-Tart's big.
It's a good jersey matchup, too.
Don't sleep.
Pop-Tart is big.
CFP.
Let's talk about it.
Obviously, we have Indiana, Notre Dame. I'm going to skip that one. On that next,
yeah,
on
we're
that
talk
next
about that,
Saturday,
obviously,
all three games are happening. 11 a.m. in State College, Pennsylvania. Southern Methodist University Mustangs take on the Pennsylvania State University Nittany Lions. The spread is at 8.5. The total is 53.5. Thoughts?
Over.
That's my thought. I like the over here, too. I think over is a big-time play. I think SMU is going to hang around this game. Kevin Jennings.
I disagree.
Kevin Jennings, they can score. I mean, we did see what happened against Clemson. But they came back. They figured it out.
I think SMU is really good. I think they had a great year. I think they have a lot of talent. I think they have a lot of people who aren't going to give them probably the credit they've earned because they didn't watch them enough, speaking about myself. At the same time, there's a difference between SMU and Penn State. There just is. There are teams on two different tiers. Penn State with the crowd noise, and you have a school that feels like maybe it's got a really good draw. Yeah, those boys are going to be fired up. It's going to be a tough place to play.
It's a wideout game.
I like Penn State to cover, and I actually think it looks ugly.
I didn't give my pick yet. I think SMU hangs around. I don't know if it's good enough to be first half spread, but I think they keep it within – it's going to be a shootout. They keep it between, like, one to two touchdowns the whole game. It could be, like, 42-28. They just hang around. It'll be like one touchdown game most of the way. I like Penn State. That's the type of game I'm seeing from this. Is light it up, big overplay. Kevin Jennings is my early pick to win the Heisman next year. He's coming back for SMU. We'll see what he does. Portal? Hoosier? Who knows?
I don't know if any of those SMU guys are going to be Portal guys because a lot of those dudes are being paid really well to be there in the first place.
It's true.
SMU is another school. I don't want to say much like Indiana because SMU actually has legitimate football history. But and not that they've been bad over the last couple of years. They've actually been really,
really good. Somewhat good recent history.
But that's a school with a lot of people are going to be like, holy shit, they have how much money? Like, that's a school where it's like, oh, how many millionaires do they have? Like, how many billionaires are around there? Like, what the, like, how the fuck is there so much money around
there?
They're
sticking around.
Yeah, they got it.
This isn't a one-time thing with SMU. They're just back.
No, God, no. No, that's like another one that people aren't giving enough credit to. It's like, no, that's not a one-year, like, we just kind of hit the jackpot here. Like, no, that is a very calculated, we spent the money to get here. Like, that's a legit program, yeah. Too.
They didn't get any revenue share from the ACC this year. And they made the conference $4 million for making the playoff. They don't care. They have money. Stupid money. Small school in the field. I'm just going to go out and say it. They definitely are. Yeah. Penn State, need that one for the Big Ten. Got to be rooting for the Big Ten. Simple.
No, I disagree. I think it's so much better for Indiana if Penn State loses this game. For recruiting, for standing in the Big Ten, for eventual path through the playoff. Like, yeah, I'm not rooting for Penn State by any means. No, I actually hope they lose.
I'm rooting for Penn
and
State.
I hope it's embarrassing.
I'm rooting for them, at least in this game.
I don't give a shit about like other bowl games. Those things don't matter. Sure, conference supremacy, all that good stuff, yada yada, Big Ten. Like, I gotta play you at some point. Like, cool. Go get them, SMU, because Penn State's the better football team. Like, let's make no bones
I
about
guess
it.
Since I'm in the... I guess I don't know how to act. Maybe since I'm in the playoff, I'm not supposed to be rooting for any of the teams.
And that's what I'm saying. It's playoff. It's every man for himself. Yeah. It's free-for-all. It is free-for-all.
Yeah.
Because there is no, like, oh, like, the Big Ten made it this far, so now we all get to move forward. It's like, no, now you fucking play.
The next game following an anticipated Penn State victory would be the 12 seed Clemson going to Austin, Texas, in DKR Texas Memorial Stadium. Take on Texas Longhorns, Clemson, Tigers, Orange Bowl. Winner takes on ASU. How about that?
That's insane. That's crazy. I don't know, man. I don't like Clemson.
Here's my thing.
But they can.
Can I start? Can I start? Can I start with this?
Yeah.
I think similar to the Penn State SMU game, I think that game's more so. I could be completely wrong, and Tom Allen just shuts down SMU because there is a clear, I think, gap between SEC, Big Ten, and the rest of the conference. The conferences. I just think it's just there. And I think it's going to show its head. I could be wrong, but I just don't see either of these ACC teams winning, Clemson included, even though they are the Clemson of old, maybe. They're very talented. Texas is an 11-point favorite.
Cade Klubnik revenge game?
That's the kicker, is that Cade Klubnik's from Austin, Texas. So he could pull off some, you know, a big storyline guy, personally. This would be pretty cool if Cade's able to pull this one off. I just, it's just tough for me to see. It'd be so awesome to have Clemson, Arizona State in a quarterfinal game. That'd be
Especially
so awesome. That'd
this
be
year.
so awesome.
Watch people lose their minds. You want to talk about Texas never hearing the end of not deserving to be in the SEC?
Yikes. They haven't played anyone.
This is a horrific jersey matchup.
Orange on orange. So it's going to be the
Horrific.
burnt orange with the white helmets, white pants, and then they go orange helmets, orange pants, white jerseys for Clemson.
It's too much
Yeah.
orange. It's way too much orange. One of those teams has to be in all white.
No, Texas is the home team. They're not going to wear all white. They don't have
Yeah,
an
so
all orange.
it's gonna be Clemson.
They're not. Texas will not wear all white. Clemson's not wearing. No,
Clemson.
they're not going to go too. They can't go too white pants. Just can't. Can't do it. Can't do it.
It's done all the
Can't
time.
do it. I don't. I pers. I
It's
pers.
literally
I
done every
personally
week.
don't like it. Sorry. Purist.
I don't want to say that Texas, or I don't want to say that Clemson can't win this game, but I like Texas.
I like Texas in
But
this game
Clemson could
too.
win.
Eh? I think this is going to be another
I'd
throw.
be
I don't
nervous
think
about
any of these
taking
are
the
going to be
points.
blowouts. Like, nothing's going to be embarrassing here. Maybe SMU. Maybe. College game day, Saturday night football.
I will say, if one of the games were to get super ugly though, towards one of the favorites, it's probably this one. It's probably Texas just curb stomping Clemson.
It's the biggest spread. All the home teams are
Like
favored.
we, I mean,
All the home teams are
the
favored by at least a
only.
touchdown.
The only game of comparison we have between the two is Georgia.
But they have a bye. So, yeah.
No,
Oh, in
no. I'm
terms of.
saying that Texas played Georgia and Clemson played Georgia, and not that Texas looked great against Georgia, but Clemson looked like they didn't know how to play football.
Yeah, but that was 4 months ago. Difference.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. It's a completely different
Because
football team. I'm just saying,
Georgia
like.
whooped the shit out of Texas the first time they played. Even though it was only 30-15, like, that was an ass whooping. They didn't know what to do. Tennessee, Ohio State, Saturday Night Football, College Game Day will be there after Indiana, Notre Dame. Yeah, Tennessee wearing all whites. Ohio State wearing the red and silver, scarlet and gray or whatever. Should be pretty sick.
Yeah, I was gonna say this is probably the game
Like,
of the
honestly,
weekend.
like we like Kizer, you talk about not the conference supremacy thing here. Like, come on, this is straight up Big Ten SEC in the playoff as a conference. We need Ohio State to beat the fucking crap out of Tennessee here. We just do. I hate to say it, but that's what we need. That's what I want. And actually, I might be a little biased here, but we were talking about what's most likely to happen, like what most likely blowout. I think I'm looking at it right here. On Saturday night, all the other games are close. Everyone's expecting this one to be the biggest thriller of them all. Ohio State just comes out there. Chip Kelly's fucking dialing it up. They get, three and outs after three and outs. Nico doesn't know what to do. He's a freshman playing in Ohio State. It's loud. It's night. It's cold. He's a Californian.
It gets cold in Tennessee.
Yeah, well,
It gets cold in
Nico's from Cal.
California.
Dude, I'm from California. I'm from where Nico's from. And let me tell you, it's not the same. It's going to be 34 degrees.
Yeesh.
Probably the wind chill is gonna be bad. It's been rough out here lately. It's been really bad. There's a chance it's not. It's probably less than 34 at kickoff. It's gonna be a cold one out here in the Midwest. I like Ohio State. I like them big. I might be a little biased because this is big for the conference. I think it's important for the conference to win this game moving forward.
Here, I'll give into your conference supremacy thing briefly for this matchup. I don't care. Like, if Penn State loses to SMU, I'm not going to be like, oh, the ACC is better than the Big Ten. Like, I'm not going to say that. Because that would just be like, oh, SMU, like, Penn State was what their second best team in the Big Ten this year, technically. But if you're going to go by perception, it's Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan, yeah, everyone else, right? And obviously Indiana is working to change that. So if you take Ohio State, who perception-wise is the top dog in the Big Ten, and they lose to the third or fourth best team in the SEC, then there's your, like, that completely erases USC and LSU early in the year. It erases any type of momentum the Big Ten would gain from any of those bowl games we just talked about. Like, you're right, it would erase all of that. Like, that's the game that matters in terms of conference supremacy. It really is only one.
And I don't know how important it is, but I feel like it is important for, like, the perception in terms of, like, how the AP votes. Because how the AP votes is somehow very similar to how the CFP is
formed. It's all a trickle effect. Perception is reality. It helps in recruiting. It helps in where you are in the polls. It helps in funding. It helps when you're trying to convince your, like, director to do something. Like,
yeah,
it matters. But, like, I doubt, like, you're not looking at the Big Ten or the SEC and being like, oh, I'm in the Big Ten, so I'm not in, like, I don't have as good a chance to go to the NFL. Like, that's crazy. But I guess you could say that about any of the leagues.
I would say playing in the SEC and the Big Ten definitely gets a lot more eyes on you.
100%.
Yeah. What do you think is going to happen in that game?
I could see it going both ways. Because I, on one hand, can see the scenario you laid out where, yeah, Tennessee's defense is really good, but Ohio State's offense is really good, and Ohio State's defense is really good, and if Tennessee's offense is going to lag, then there's not much they can do. But if Tennessee's defense is able to hold Ohio State, especially early, and that crowd, who we've seen turn on their own team quickly, turns quickly, and it gets ugly in there, and all of a sudden the conversation in the second quarter isn't, holy shit, we're stomping Tennessee, like, what's the next round matchup for them?
It's Oregon.
It's not Oregon. It's Oregon. So they're, instead of talking about Oregon, they're talking about, like, who the next head coach is going to be, because they're going to fire Ryan Day. Like, then it's going to get tight in that stadium. Real, real tight. But, yeah, it's kind of one of those things where...
Well, the AD...
Yeah, Tennessee's a really...
On that note...
Really talented team.
On that note, the AD of Ohio State did a smart move today. Announced that that Ryan Day's job is not in jeopardy, that he is returning next year.
Oh, that is smart.
No matter what.
I mean,
with all the public
the day,
pressure,
I mean,
it only made sense to have to make a statement at that point.
No, they had to. You couldn't go into the playoff with that type of pressure on the head coach and allow the stadium to turn, or give the chance, yeah, for the stadium to turn like that, because it would, and it still might. Like, that by no means is you're safe. That just means, like, hey, guys, chill out for a little bit. But, like, Brian Hartline, the wide receivers coach, is interviewing for jobs. He interviewed for the West Virginia job. He didn't get it. But now, if, like, all of a sudden you couple underperformance with, holy shit, we can't lose that all-star who's the best recruiter in the room, then it's like, all right, now we already have the guy in waiting, and we're upset with this guy, and we don't have to change much to go with this guy. And now you can start having a realistic kind of conversation, and that starts happening in the middle of this game, then it could get really, really interesting for Tennessee. But I just think Ohio State's too talented. I think we're just getting Ohio State, Oregon too.
Yeah, I'm thinking chalk for Saturday, which is why I'm feeling so good about the Hoosiers on Friday.
I agree. And I want to save IU for next week because obviously we're going to put – there's another one for the jar. We're going to put a lot more time into the Indiana preview than we did to any of these games. But I agree with you. It does feel very chalky. And the two closest games are that Tennessee-Ohio State game and that Indiana-Notre Dame game. And Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois. I promise you, the Indiana Hoosiers are better than Northern Illinois.
Yeah, we're going to be just fine. That's going to be a sick game. I cannot wait. Oh, my God.
That's going to be the game of the weekend.
Away. We're so close.
The battle for Indiana. You can follow Sigs Inside on Twitter at Sigs Inside Pod. You can follow Brad at Bradley_Loomis8. You can follow me at Alec Keezer. Check out KeysportsNetwork.com. I also have a couple articles up on HoosierHuddle.com as well. You can check those out. Shout out to the boys, Wave, Nick Skrill, Signar. Check out Friends and Collaborators, Instrumental Volume 1 on streaming platforms now. Instrumentals, the intro song 1621, the outro song The Sweet Sound of Butter Symphony. Check out SoCalHotSauce.com, promo code SIGSINSIDE, that's two words, 10% off your order. Check out NycoSports.com, use the promo code SIGS, get $10 off that football. There's only 5,000 of them, grab them, they're going quick. We'll be back on Sunday, we're going to do a bowl game extravaganza, as Brad called it. And you heard it here first, we're having Timothy Chalamet and Kyle Schwarber, and who else is?
Matthew McConaughey.
It's a star-studded panel we're having.
I gotta text Pat McAfee. See if he can make it.
See if he can squeeze
Brandon
it
Walker. Brandon yeah, Walker we'll be back on and Sunday. Josh Pate, even though they hate each other, they both agreed to come on. It's pretty good.
I'm starting to think we're not going to get anything accomplished on this episode, Brad. It's just going to be a lot of arguing.
Yeah. No, I made sure there's not going to be, we're going to be focused on the ball here. So, yeah, thanks for listening, and yeah, stay tuned for the next episode. Hoosiers.